Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. November is typically seen as Stewardship Month in many Catholic churches, and so I will be preaching all the Masses this weekend for a consistent talk about tithing and stewardship. And I wanted to begin by just saying that we're in the 33rd Sunday of the year. We're almost at the end of the liturgical year. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King, and that marks the last Sunday of the liturgical year. And then guess what? We start the road down towards Christmas with Advent. So we're right around the corner from changing seasons to Advent. And as the church would have it, as we come to the end of the liturgical year, the readings kind of are like at the end of time, like at the end of the world. Jesus is talking about that no one will know the day or the hour. I don't know if you remember a number of years ago when we heard that Pope Benedict was retiring. There was a lot of people who wanted to repent, and the confession lines doubled and tripled in length because people were saying, "Is this the end of the world?" Catholics were coming back to church who had been away for 20, 30 years, thinking, "I've never heard of this. A pope retiring, this must be the end of the world. I'm going to repent and get things right." I think Jesus does say that we should pay attention to signs. When you see these things happening, you know that the summer is near. But he says nobody is going to know the day or the hour, so we shouldn't get caught up in trying to pinpoint a day of the end of time. You know why I think people do that? People do that because they're like, "I could still be bad, and I'll wait until a week before the end, and then I'll go back to Mass, and I'll go to confession. Everything will be good." No. We need to be faithful our whole lives, because nobody knows when the end will come for us. An airplane could drop out of the sky and land on top of my house. Who knows when the end will come? And so we're called to be constantly prepared and constantly ready. And I think at the end of our lives, we'll have to give an account for our stewardship. What did we do with our life? Did it have any meaning to it at all? Or was it all about nothing? And one of the things I think that helps us to be part of a mission, part of something bigger than ourselves, is the way that we give our money to fund the works of the church. I think there's no better way to spend our money than to invest it in God's kingdom, because that has everlasting ramifications. Whereas the things in the world, when we invest in houses and land and things of the world, all those things are only temporal. There was a famous author, Jim Elliot. He once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And we hear in Luke's gospel in chapter 16, Jesus himself says, "I tell you, make friends of yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings. And so it makes sense that our tithing, the things that we give to support the kingdom of God here on earth, is something that we do to prepare ourselves really for eternal life. And the way that we plan it can begin to shape the way that we spend our money on other things. And it can really begin to change our hearts and direct us more and more to thinking about how can I be more involved with things that are of God. And so tithing then is a very spiritual thing. A lot of people get uncomfortable when the priest talks about money. And I know a lot of priests, they even say it, I hate to talk about money. But you know the truth of the matter? Jesus spoke about money all the time. He did. About the pearl of great wealth, a man sold everything he had to acquire the pearl of great price. Jesus said that you cannot love two masters. You will either love the one or hate the other. He said you cannot serve both God and money, wealth, mammon. And Jesus was always speaking about money. How about the rich man who came to him? What must I do to be perfect? He says, sell everything that you have. Take all your money and give it to the poor. Then come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he went away sad because he was indeed a wealthy man. If you read the Bible, you'll see that the idea of wealth, treasure, comes up all the time because it is a very spiritual thing of what we do, the intentionality of how we spend our money, whether we're part of the mission of the church of proclaiming the gospel or whether we don't. And so I think the tendency is that we want to hold everything. We want to hold it in. That's survival. And in order to be a tither, we have to go against our survival instincts. Our survival instincts is to keep it all, hoard it in, because we never know when the famine is going to hit or the drought. And so in order to tithe, to give of yourself, you have to kind of go against this survival instinct. But we read from the saints that it is in giving that we receive, and in dying that we have eternal life. And so there's this, like, things get turned around. Things that we expect, all of a sudden it's not what we expected, right? We would expect that if you tithe and you give your money away, you expect that you're going to be poor, right? Well, the scriptures tells us it's the other way around. When you give, you become wealthy. And it happens in many different ways. And I can say in my own life, I have found that whenever I gave, I always received so much more in return. Sometimes financially. Sometimes the gift or the blessing was spiritual. And so we read this from Malachi. This is in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. He says, bring the tithes in full to the treasury so that there is food in my house. Put me to the test now like this, says Yahweh Sabaoth. So God is saying, put me to the test, says Yahweh Sabaoth. And see if I do not open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour an abundance of blessings upon you. So through the prophet Malachi, God is promising the church blessings over the church and over your own lives if we honor his word. But what's the ramifications if we don't? It would be, I would imagine, the opposite. If we don't give God what he's asking us to give, that we will lose out on those blessings that he planned to give us. God is saying, try me in this. You know, he's like, it's a personal challenge. I mean, if we closed your eyes and God spoke to you and said, I challenge you to try to tithe. I challenge you, try me in this. I would argue that God is a God of generosity. You know, you think of all the universe that he created. He could have just created our solar system. We would have been just fine. But he creates this huge universe for us to explore and research and look at. He creates all of this and he gives it to us and he puts us in charge of all of creation. And so in that we see that God owns everything. Sometimes people think it's mine. I think it was one of the first words children learn, right? Mine. Babies want to grab it out of your earring, out of your ears. Mine. And there's no, it's grab and take. We have this, I think, built in into us that we want to take. But God is a God of generosity. And I think that grabbing, mine, is part of the concupiscence, original sin. That I'm not enough. God's not going to look out for me, and I need to look out for myself. And I'm going to hold on. I'm going to grasp at it. And that began the fall. But in the beginning, God created you in his own image and likeness. And God is a giver. He's constantly giving away. Not only does he give us everything, look at the crucifix. He had nothing left to give. He was naked on the cross. We clothed him out of respect. But he gave everything. He was naked when he left this world on the cross. And when we thought he had nothing left to give, he even gave us his mother to be our mother too. And so God is a giver. And if you want to be authentically the person that God created you to be, then you have to be a giver. Because God created you in the image and likeness of a giver. God created you in the image and likeness of love. And love always seeks the good of the other. And in order to do that, we have to learn to give. And so it goes against our survival instincts. You know, St. Paul, in one of those letters, he says, we see dimly now as in a mirror. You know, we see dimly now and as a mirror. I didn't understand what that meant until one day I tried to cut my own hair in the mirror. And I thought I was going closer to my head, but my hand was actually going the other direction. I was like, what is going on here? But when you see things in the mirror, it's like backwards. But it's true that it's in giving that we receive. And so I'd say to you that tithing, what we do with our money, is a very spiritual thing. And it connects you into all the works of the church. I heard a Protestant minister one time say that my job as a pastor is to find parishioners who have lots of money but no time to give, and get them to give some of the money so that I could find parishioners over here who don't have any money but they have lots of time, and get those two like synergy going together. And so everybody has a part to play, whether it's time, talent, or treasure. But God is a God who is never outdone in generosity. And time again, I've heard from others, and I've seen it in my own life, the more that you give, the more that you find that you will receive. The thing that kind of saddens me or breaks my heart is to hear that among Christians, that Catholics give less than all the other Christians, like tithing. A lot of Catholics will say tithing is Old Testament, and Jesus abolished it. Or they'll say tithing is only for Protestants. You know, I'm Catholic. But tithing has always been represented in the scripture as the standard of giving. And it's not to be considered like the goal. Like once I get to 10%, I've accomplished my goal, and now I'm there, I can keep the rest. It's the starting point. It's what's required. It's not being generous. It's being just and doing what God asked or commands. It's being just. Once we reach the tithing and then we go a little bit further, that's when generosity really begins, because we're going beyond what was required. What did Jesus talk about the servant who, you know, what master would say, you know, to the servant who came after working in the field, you know, sit down, you've been working hard all day, I'll make you something to eat. So no, he's going to sit down and say, serve me, after me, you can have something to eat. At the end of the day, don't say, you know, I did so much. Say, I only did what I was obliged to do. And so in order to go into generosity, we have to go beyond what we're obliged to do. And as I say that, it makes me sad, because among all the Christians, The reason why I'm Catholic is because I believe the Catholic Church has the fullness of truth. If I didn't believe that the Catholic Church had the fullness of truth, I could be some other Protestant, and they'd probably let me get married, and I could do anything probably I wanted. But I believe that the Catholic Church has the fullness of truth. And if that's true, then Catholics who have more at their disposal in the sacraments, and especially in the Eucharist, yet what's the response back that I hear that Catholics give maybe 1% of their tithe? Their tithe looks like more like 1% or even less. That's kind of sad. And I think I have to challenge my own family, because when I grew up, all I ever saw my parents put in was a dollar. And I remember hearing a story about a family that was leaving Mass, and the father was complaining about the homily. It wasn't here at St. Thomas, that would never happen. But it was at some other Catholic church. The father was complaining about the homily, and the 8-year-old son said, "I don't know. I didn't think it was all that bad for a dollar." So. The tithing is just part of the spiritual thing. God, Jesus wants more than just our money. He wants our heart. Look at the woman that we heard only shortly. She gave only a few pennies. It's not about how much money we give. She only gave a few pennies. But Jesus commends her, and she's remembered now for all time as being the best tither in the world for a few pennies. Why? Because she put her trust completely in God. And tithing is about our trust in God. And he says she gave more than all these wealthy people who put in huge sums of money, because she didn't give out of surplus. She didn't give extra what wouldn't hurt her. She gave everything, even her last coin. And you see, Jesus is always talking about treasure. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The plan, I think, that is good for everyone has four components to it. To be a planned giver, rather than somebody who just shows up and says, "Oh, I didn't bring any money today for Mass," and so have you ever done that, like not planned, and then opened up your wallet and all that was in there was like a $50 bill? Or a $100 bill, and you're like, "Oh, I'll get you next time, next week, Father." But the beginning is to be a planned giver. So St. Paul, when he speaks about tithing in the New Testament, St. Paul says, every person must sit down and prayerfully consider what it is that God is calling them to give, and then give it cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. So I say, I hope that you all are hilarious. God loves a cheerful giver, not somebody who reluctantly says, "Oh, no." That happened to me one time. I opened my wallet. All I had was like 50 and 100. And I took out the 100. I said, "God, I'll give you this first." And I just remember receiving so many blessings in that week. But being a planned giver means designating a part of your budgeting with your whole family. I've even heard of families who will say things to their children like, "Do you want to go to the movies this weekend as a family? It'll cost us about $50. Or I could give that to St. Vincent de Paul or to the church, and we could stay at home and watch a movie, a video here at home." And so families even using that to teach their children that we can make a decision like that. So being a plan giver, I think, is important. The next part of the plan, part two, is to be a priority giver. Not to give God the leftovers, but to start from the top. The biblical tithe was always from the top, that God was the first person that you thought about before any other of the expenses. Number three is to be a percentage giver. And the percentage giver is because our incomes are always changing. And so it respects that, that we change. If you lose a job, if you're a percentage giver, then it goes way down, and it respects that. And then the fourth one is to be a progressive giver, to try to reach the level of a 10% tithe. But even if you do get there, to be a progressive giver recognizes that that's the threshold. That's my obligation. And to be generous, I will go beyond that. Tithing doesn't always have to be about the parish. A portion of it certainly should, because we have to keep the lights on. We have to pay salaries to run a parish. But your tithing could also be things that you, other organizations that do ministry on behalf of the church or to bring God's kingdom to the world. I would say don't tithe here at St. Thomas because you like me. I would say that's the wrong reason. You know, I like Father Steve, I'm going to start tithing. That would be the wrong reason. But the wrong reason would also be to withhold your tithe because you don't like me. I don't like Father Steve. He's ugly. He's fat. That would be the wrong reason not to tithe either, because tithing isn't about the priest, but rather it's about honoring God. When you tithe, you're honoring God with the gift. And that's the reason why I think the tithe comes in the middle of the Mass, in the middle of the worship on Sunday, the collection comes. And it happens right before the sacrifice on the altar. It happens right at that moment, because your tithe includes everything. Your time that you spent at work earning it, your talent, the reason why they hired you, and then it's your treasure as well. So your tithe includes time, talent, and treasure all in it. And some of you, when you earn your money, you sweat, you toil, and maybe even blood's involved. I don't know, maybe you're a doctor or a boxer. But the money comes forward, and what does the priest say? Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours, you just made a sacrifice. For some, maybe it was a dollar. Somebody else, maybe it was everything. Like that woman in the temple that Jesus commends. But we shouldn't just brush over that prayer. We should think about it. Was my sacrifice something that honored God? Or would I be embarrassed? You know, even though it all goes into one basket, God knows what everyone gave. And whether it was a sacrifice or not, or whether it brought him honor, or maybe even was disrespect. And so give not because you like the bishop, or you don't like the bishop or the priest, but give as a way of honoring God and making a sacrifice to him. I think in the end, it's pretty amazing to think that we can give, and then it becomes part of the church's mission, and it becomes so much more than me. When I look at, for example, when the bishop does the charity and development appeal, you know, hundreds of ministries all throughout the diocese, people who have needs that I've never even heard about, that I can tithe and be spiritually connected to all of that. What a great way to witness our faith and to be a giver. And so I pray that all of us would take that to heart seriously. In the pews, you'll find a beautiful little pamphlet. It's got a picture of our stained glass window, and it's got some notes on tithing. And there's also a pamphlet on what's called Faith Direct. And if there's not enough of these in the pews, there's a whole stack of them at each of the doors. I made sure of it. Faith Direct is an electronic way of giving. You could fill this out and turn it in, or you could do it all online. But I use Faith Direct because sometimes I forget to put something in the basket, or if you're not here on a Sunday and you're vacationing, you continue to support the community. And it's a way of giving to God first, because it's the first thing that comes out of my checking account is through that Faith Direct. And so if you're interested in that, this is a great way to go. It also helps the parish when we do our budgeting, like how much do we have to spend in the coming year. It really helps us to say, we've got this in Faith Direct. We know that we're not going to get any less than this, hopefully. So it helps us in our planning. And so those are the two resources. I want to thank all of you for the stewardship that you have shown over the years to St. Thomas. And I ask that you continue to show that stewardship. Hopefully, you feel that we are doing the mission that the church asks of us to do, to do sacraments, to proclaim the gospel, and that we have something here maybe for everybody so that they can grow in their faith, and that this is a ministry, a church that you want to support. Remember, God is the author of all goodness, and he'll never be outdone in charity. God bless you all.